Our number one on Thursday, though, is industry chatter, as always, and happy to welcome to the studio today Frank Blau, Senior Vice President for Government Services for Equifax. Frank, welcome. Nice to have you in the studio today.
Welcome, Francis, and good afternoon to you.
And a great name. Anybody named Frank or Francis always gets a little bit of extra juice on the show.
Not as common these days as it was back in our time.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, welcome and great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you again for having me.
Sure. Give me the elevator speech about Equifax and what you do for the government.
Yeah, be happy to. So Equifax is a 110-year-old global information technology company, and we're a member of the S&P 500 with a heritage dating back, as I said, over 110 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Equifax employs about 6,900 people spanning four continents and 16 countries. And Equifax and our data assets really combined, we indicate that we've got about 572 million consumers, 81 million businesses worldwide, that spans the globe with approximately 200 million employees, which equates to about 4.4 billion trades and 108 million public records. Our vision at the end of the day is to be we consider ourselves the trusted provider of information solutions that inform, empower, and enrich our government clientele so that they're better informed to make better decisions with confidence.
What agencies are you doing a lot of work with right now, and what kinds of work are you doing for them?
Yeah, good question. So with respect, we really serve across the civilian landscape with inside government, and that makes up law enforcement. We do some work with the Office of Personnel Management. We do work certainly with the GSA, also DHS, and also the United States Postal Service as well.
Before we went on the air, you were talking about waste, fraud, and abuse stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've been hearing, I mean, it's relentless, the amount of material that's coming out, especially out of OMB, about waste, fraud, and abuse and that kind of thing. What trends are you seeing when it comes to waste, fraud, and abuse? And what is it that you see agencies doing now that maybe they weren't doing a year ago or 5 years ago when it comes to trying to track down improper payments and so forth?
So if I take a step back, Francis, about 6 months ago, we took a look at the landscape of the market, and basically we found four or five market trends drivers that we, Equifax, felt like that we could help serve and solve for. One of those trends was certainly around mitigating waste, fraud, and abuse, which I'll speak to per your question.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was around federal procurement and acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was around the aging workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is really as government attempts to become more transparent with respect to pushing information to citizens, we are finding that there's a need, you know, around technology enablement with respect to how all this information gets pushed to the citizen, hence where the government wants to essentially identify not only who you are as a business and as a business owner and principal, but also as a consumer or even an employee.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to your question, if I may, around the whole waste, fraud, and abuse. There have been several memorandums and directives, on this particular piece. And there was an executive order about a year or so ago. It was under the order of 13520, where the government had indicated that they're planning to really exercise the cabinet's authorities with respect to ceding more accountability out of the respective cabinets down to the taxpayer due to the tremendous amount of waste that has been essentially identified. There were some estimates that came out recently that in 2009 alone, that there was approximately $100 million, right, in contractor and also fraud that directly also extended to individuals as well. So we feel like we've got the technology, the tools, the data assets that to help government solve for many of those issues and problems.
What are the problems that the agencies are having in rooting that out? Is it that they're not doing, is it the accounting structures they have in place are not right? Is it that the auditing to go back and look at the accounting is not good? Or is it all of the above? Are there informational issues? You know, I was at a panel yesterday where we saw how many, just in payroll, in how many processes at the Coast Guard are still being done manually and not automated. And every one of those dashed lines is a chance for some kind of just mistake to be an honest mistake, but a mistake nonetheless. You seeing a lot of that kind of thing?
Yeah, so the challenge is somewhat, is a combination of events that are taking place, okay? One, as government, we talked about the federal acquisition process. Today, in order to do business with the government, right, a couple things have to happen. A, typically you need a GSA schedule, all right, to do business with the government. And two, when you do that, you have to register, right, through DNB, which is referred to as the DUNS number,
mm-hmm.
all right? And DNB has been, of course, a longstanding company that has been doing business with the government. And so with that said, the government, with respect to its tools, as it investigates and does its analysis to determine whether an entity is a viable entity to do business inside government, there seems to be some gaps mm-hmm. that are taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Not so much that it's DNB's fault. Is it as much for people who are on the debarred list, for an example? They go on that debarred list, and there are approximately 60,000 people today that are on that list.
Mm-hmm.
We find these people that are coming back in and incorporating under new names.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they're just basically gaming the system.
They're gaming the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much, not a number, of course.
Yes.
But is that a substantial amount of where these problems are coming from? Is people who have cheated once and they're cheating again, and there's not really a structure in place to catch them cheating the second, third time?
It's let's put it this way. Over the next 3 years, the government anticipates that it could save up to $2 billion, right, in savings that then would result back to the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, I would also say that they have also exploring a position where they're going to begin to post a do not pay list.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that was an order that came out of OMB not too long ago as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, we covered that, and you can find out more about it and see the memo at federalnewsradio.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And then there's also they're looking to bring in more technology,
mm-hmm.
software that will essentially enable and aggregate data at this point that will help agencies solve for a lot of these related challenges that they're having
mm-hmm.
through ID verification and management.
That seems like, on the surface, an investment that would be a very wise investment. You spend X dollars up front, and you realize Y dollars in savings over the next
3 to 5 years.
Z years, whatever the formula is. What I wonder about, though, is if we're not getting into a budget situation over the next, say, 3 to 5 years, where people will start to say, I understand the benefits over the Z years, but we don't really even have the X to do the initial investment with. Do you think that's a realistic possibility, or are some of these investments, do you think, lucrative enough that it's going to be worth it to make the initial investment for software or improved infrastructure or workforce improvements or whatever, that the gains will be quick enough that you can see a really fast ROI at an agency?
Well, my comment to that would be, you know, the White House has got a czar now, Earl Devaney, who, you know, was appointed by the president, and, you know, his primary charter is to manage the recovery dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So the government, it clearly is looking at ensuring that this, out of the 770 some odd billion dollars that are to go out, they want to be sure that those dollars get in the right hands of good law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a comment that I would make there. Additionally, with respect to the investment commit that government has to make in order to be able to solve and capture and realize the savings, they've got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot continue to go on and go on and go on at the clip of $100 million dollars plus a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, these are big numbers.
All yeah.
right? And taxpayers just aren't going to stand for it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You've thrown out a lot of issues there that I would like to dig into. I'm particularly interested in your thoughts and what your company has found about the aging workforce. So let's take a quick break and come back with Frank Blau, Senior Vice President of Government Services for Equifax on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back in a moment. We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Frank Blau of Equifax, and we talked about before the break about the aging workforce was one point that you made,
yes.
One thing that your company's looked at. If you talk to Mike Causey, if you talk to OPM, if you talk to anybody that pays attention to these kinds of things in the federal government, they will tell you that there's been a retirement wave predicted in the government for ever since anybody can remember. And it doesn't ever seem to happen. And there are some people who are a little cynical, maybe like me, who are wondering if it's going to happen. And I'm curious to know what your company's research has shown about what we might have to look forward to over the next 5-10 years.
Well, you're right. There has been a lot of talk and a lot of noise about the issue. At the latest report that we found, it was that somewhere between 250 and a half million workers are set to retire over the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we take a look at that, well, we look at that favorably because a couple of things have got to happen. As they leave, you got to replace them, okay? Mm-hmm. And as you replace them, you know, we do business with an agency that does a lot of the background workforce management background checks.
That agency start with an O?
It does. It does. And so we look at that as a benefit to mm-hmm. our business, and we're not materially impacted from the services standpoint of things.
With the insourcing.
Comment.
Right.
So that's another trend, right? New administrations come in. There's been a lot of talk about pumping government up.
Yeah.
Hence, you're talking about if 250 to 500 are leaving, you know, the question then becomes how many net new, right, more employees are they planning on hiring?
The last number I saw was 600,000 a year for the next 4 or 5 years.
It's phenomenal.
So that's a net gain, I guess, of between
1.1
million
and 1.1.
Yeah, that's quite a few people.
Yes.
Are you seeing, as you deal with the agencies, are you seeing the kinds of people that they're looking for and hiring changing in addition to just the sheer numbers?
Well, the buzz on the street is they're the government now, given the current economic times, this is impacting really the mid-tier federal systems integrators.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government has the opportunity and it's taken advantage of those times because a lot of those folks that are working for those mid-tier companies are looking for a secure, you know, safe haven, if you will, with respect to workforce.
I'll take the same amount of money. No, I'm not going to get laid off. And no, I've got a great benefits package.
That's right.
Yeah. What other kinds of buzz are you hearing about workforce in the same areas?
Well, it's age is one. The impact that it's having with, you know, the private industry is the second.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I'm hearing at this point, right? With respect as how it parlates into our business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As you dug into the whole concept of the aging workforce, does it look to you like the agencies are doing the right things to try to recruit this whole next generation? There's a lot of discussion about we want to be. They talk about telecommuting and flexible scheduling and all those kinds of things. And being technology savvy and so on and so forth. Some people take a look at some of these things and think this is maybe a whole lot of just navel gazing. This isn't necessarily going to help us to make people want to work for the federal government in particular. Because the focus is lost maybe sometimes on actually meeting mission.
Right. Well,
any thoughts about that?
My comment is that the new administration, we could say, is either inherited or is undergoing major transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure your listeners out there and yourself, you read the newspaper every day and you certainly listen to the radio.
I do.
And, you know, outside of the aging workforce, we have procurement reform. You know, we're trying to become more transparent. They're committed to reducing fraud and waste. And we have the current economic state. We still have high employment rates. We've got, you know, projected deficits that are in the $1 trillion, mm-hmm. you know, range. You've got the auto industry that's impacted. You got Freddie, you got Fannie, you got two wars going on.
Yeah.
You've got healthcare reform and now the BP oil spill.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot.
People are busy.
Transparency
is another term I want to get into. Yep. That's something, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the next break, but just with about a minute to go.
Yep.
Are we in danger of transparency maybe becoming a buzzword, or are people really starting to be able to wrap their heads around what transparency means as far as delivering information and services to citizens?
Well, I would tell you that the government's hired a CIO czar outside of us, also a cyber czar as well. And so the administration appears to be very committed. Now, commitment is one thing, but funding is another.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of, I know, technology mandates out there by OMB as they're trying to make this information available, right, to consumers and to businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say they are making inroads with respect to, this is on the policy side.
Yeah.
Now you got to get to OMB and in the capital side to fund the initiatives to make it reality.
All right. Frank Blau, my guest, Senior Vice President of Government Services for Equifax on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be back in a moment. We're back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest for the hour for industry chatter is Frank Blau, Senior Vice President of Government Services for Equifax. We're talking about transparency before the break, Frank, and this is obviously something that people at every agency are working on. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of direction. You need to make your agency more transparent. People at the agencies are telling me that they're less clear on exactly what their vision of transparency is going to be. People are saying something similar to what you and I talked about during the commercial break, which is what transparency means at every agency is going to be different because the mission is different. And so what are your thoughts about how when somebody's presented with this job of becoming more transparent, how do you chop that up? How do you prioritize that? How do you make that into bite-sized pieces rather than just say, oh, now what am I going to do with this extra thing that's been added onto my plate?
Well, as a follow-on to our comment, if you had a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, if you were to lay it out and say, okay, let's pick an agency. Let's pick Homeland.
Okay.
It gets picked on all the time, right? And Homeland, there are 8 to 10 agencies that roll up under Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you got many different silos. You have field operations. You've got regionals. You've got dispersed data centers, all right? And the real question becomes is how do you get all those people both in the field offices, all right, that are running the data centers, that are managing the data assets, how do you get them in the room and say, okay, what are the priorities? What's the blueprint? How do we make all this happen? Doing it for a small state or doing it for the District of Columbia, right, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But doing it for the United States federal government, it's completely, it's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot of talk is what they're trying to do is just to get some success first with a couple of agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Stand them up first. Get them fully operational. Get them to a point where you can get some best practices. You can get a framework and you have a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can then exchange and share that with the additional agencies that have got to make this this priority a reality.
Yeah. We're starting to see some small successes at agencies. And one of the things that they're struggling with is another thing we talked about during the break. And that is they're putting data out there. They're putting tremendous numbers of data sets out there. And for the most part, we haven't seen what we saw with recovery.gov, which was a lot of data came out. Ed DeSev said, this data is not going to be perfect, but we want to get it out there because this is so much money. And he gave a number of reasons. Warned people, this is not going to be perfect. It wasn't. And they really got cooked in the media for it. I mean, jokes on late night shows and all kinds of news stories and radio stories and everything about the quality of the data. The lesson, I guess, that people learned was we've got to make the data perfect, but that really slows down the timeline then, I would imagine, of trying to get data sets out there for people to really be able to dig into.
Well, I would agree with you. It's a major undertaking.
Yeah.
And, it gets back to you got a resource to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you got to make the investment commit in order to realize, right, the benefits to the taxpayer. And with all the priorities that are underway right now, I would tell you that if you had your top 10, that probably wouldn't rank in your top 10 today.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say because there are so many really important things out there. And it seems to me, too, that I guess if you did, as you say, if you're making a list of the things that the average taxpayer cares about,
yep.
I'm not sure that having access to tremendous volumes of government information is necessarily one of them.
Right. So I refer to it, and the way I kind of comment to it is that if you have the social services agencies, if you have your collections agencies, okay, if you've got your lending or your financial agencies, where people have a direct need as a citizen to retrieve information from government,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where you start.
Mm-hmm.
And then there becomes the whole issue, as you said, is that as you push that information out, how do you ensure that there's the appropriate levels of security, right, around it so that when people do go in, right, that you are the person that you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes...
Yeah, the identity management component of it is really been tricky for a lot of agencies, and because you're trying to balance that with privacy, there's another fine line that agencies got to walk is the privacy component of all of this.
That's right. And so, not long ago, OMB came out with a 404 directive around ETH authentication.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you've got a couple agencies that are really becoming thought leaders and taking a position on, as they push the information out, how do they truly verify and authenticate, validate that the person coming in is who they say they are?
Who's doing that well?
Well, we Equifax, we've got a patented based solution and are also recognized by GSA as one of their only certified data services provider,
mm-hmm.
right? That have been tested, right, and validated to do this today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right now, there's a lot of proof of concepting, right, that's taking place that we're working with agencies to demonstrate our capability.
Mm-hmm. What's the future of identity management? I mean, what should we be looking for down the road as far as potential forks in the road for agencies who are trying to deal with that?
Well, the financial services in the banking industry, this is not new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have really been the thought leaders behind this,
mm-hmm.
because if you ever gone to your website, your banking website, and you want to do online banking, or if you have your 401k,
mm-hmm.
and you go to register online,
sure.
There are, as you go in and you log in, there are 3, 4, and 5 different levels of security that you have to go through,
mm-hmm.
right? So you verify your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's our technology.
Yeah.
All right. So it already exists today.
Yeah. Why do you think it's hard for the agencies to adapt things that are off the shelf to their needs? I mean, this whole conversation about COTS has been something that people, with all due respect, people are acting like this is a huge deal. It strikes me as kind of a no-brainer that, to me, the remarkable thing is it has taken agencies so long to shake the idea that every single application we buy has to be specifically designed for us from scratch.
Yeah.
That strikes me as what's odd, not the idea that we can take something that's off the shelf and maybe just change it around a little bit and it'll work for what we need it to.
Well, it's a good point. It gets back to it's political.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that the technology passes the NIST test, with respect to technology certifications. You got to pass that test.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes down to, appropriations and funding.
Yeah.
And that's always been a little sticky with the whole cybersecurity initiative.
Yeah. Underfunded. Yeah, it seems to me we're just getting to the point where most members of Congress understand that cybersecurity is a real threat,
right,
and not just something that somebody made up to try to squeeze some more money out.
That's right.
My guest is Frank Blau. He's Senior Vice President of Government Services at Equifax on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We talked about procurement, touched on that at the beginning of the show, and I'd like to continue that conversation when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
stretches, biking to work, quick walks at lunch, shopping at the farmer's market, getting all your antioxidants, flavonoids, and omega-3s while staying properly hydrated. Oh, and don't forget 8 hours of good sleep. Trying to live a healthy lifestyle doesn't leave a lot of time for managing your health care. That's why Kaiser Permanente offers members My Health Manager, an online tool you can use to proactively manage health care for you and your family members, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have a question for your doctor? Email your doctor's office and get a response. Make, cancel, or reschedule routine appointments. Get test results, check recent immunization records, view most of your medical history, and order prescription refills. All in a secure environment, all at your convenience, all so you have more time to thrive. To learn more about My Health Manager, visit kp.org. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Getting things done more easily from more locations and more devices. That's the power Microsoft Office 2010 delivers to you and your agency. With Office 2010, federal workers will find rich and powerful new ways to efficiently deliver their best work, whether from your PC, phone, or web browser, at work, home, or on the road. Also, give life to your ideas with new data analysis and visualization features. Put the power of Office 2010 to work for you. Learn more at msgovoffice2010.com. That's msgovoffice2010.com.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris, weekday morning 6 to 10.
David Kapos is the director of the Patent and Trademark Office.
It clearly is an implementation of the president's open government initiative, and it's the USPTO making part of its data available in service of transparency, in support of the President's Open Government Initiative.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on the Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Are you on Facebook? Do you Twitter? So does Federal News Radio. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio Facebook group. For the latest in federal news and government contracting, visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Frank Blau is the Senior Vice President of Government Services for Equifax. He's my guest on Industry Chatter today on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The P word, procurement, is something that causes some people heartburn, makes life easier for others. What trends are you seeing both personally and company-wise in procurement and government today, Frank?
Well, it's an excellent question. And, you know, again, a lot of the buzz, you know, around the Beltway is this federal acquisition reform. And government, you know, has come back and, again, indicated, right, that they're looking to develop a more agile acquisition process to increase speed of technology deployment.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to reduce cost of, through cuts in contract spending and the use of high-risk contract types. There is this reduce the government's reliance on contractors through insourcing, as I think I referred to earlier.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Right? And they're talking about building a larger and better trained acquisition, an IT workforce. Okay, so what does all that mean? What all that means at the end of the day is that if you're a newcomer coming into the market, okay, there are a couple things that you must realize. One is if you don't have somebody on your staff, go hire somebody or go contract somebody that is a government contracts administrator that can help you through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Couple basic principles. If you don't have financial stability, and if you don't have good past performance, and if you don't have COTS products that are commercially available and or you can demonstrate your commercial availability, And if you're a product company, at the end of the day, you got to demonstrate Trade Agreement Act compliance, mm-hmm. which they call TA compliance. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Because your barriers to entry and your time to revenue are going to be severely impacted.
Are we past the days where people used to have the attitude of, oh, if I could only get on a contract, if I can just figure out how to do business with the government, I'm in the clear?
You know, by and large, unless you've got a really unique, innovative widget or tool that the government, that there's tremendous perceived value, those days, by and large, are really gone.
Mm-hmm.
You got the whole small business designation now that's going on and taking place. In addition to that, you've got the, as small business is becoming, you know, more apparent, mm-hmm. right, and realized, because there's a 25% threshold where government agencies are supposed to essentially award small contracts, right, to government agencies.
Mm-hmm.
The government has plenty of contract vehicles out there right now through GWACs, government-wide accepted contract vehicles, IDIQ, indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts, or that if you're a small mid-tier company and or if you're a large federal systems integrator, that if that widget has benefit and they see value and are directed by the government, right, to get you on a contract, there are ways to get on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it easy? No.
I wouldn't think so.
Is it fast?
Yeah.
No. So you have to have an appetite and patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be able to understand the procurement process.
Thinking about all those concepts, I think I have an idea what you'll say to this, but I'll let you say it anyway. Do you think it's getting easier or harder to do business with the government then?
It's getting harder.
Yeah.
It's harder. And it's you know, you still have all of the FAR, the federal FAR regulations that you have to contend with. If you have a GSA contract, if you're going about and you're pursuing an opportunity on a full and open competition, you've got to have some pretty tight, as I said, past performance qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your tight reps and certs, okay, with respect to your company. So you got to be in good business standing.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a good technical approach at the end of the day. And when you really come down to it and you're fully evaluated, you hope you score well to win.
Yeah. There are a lot of people, though, that think that all of those, all of the roadblocks, maybe isn't a fair word, but all of the speed bumps are a good idea to make sure that the companies that actually do get to do business with the government are really qualified to do business with the government.
Well, that goes back to the whole waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right. Lot more to cover, and we will wrap up with Frank Blau, Senior Vice President of Government Services at Equifax, when In-Depth continues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back in a moment. Thanks for listening to In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest for the hour is Frank Blau, Senior Vice President of Government Services at Equifax. Frank, we've talked a lot about this hour, during this hour, about where we stand today and how we've gotten to where we are today. I always like to wrap up on hopefully a hopeful note about where we're going in the future. If you and I sit down a year from now or 5 years from now, and I hope we have a chance to do that, where do you think we're headed with some of these issues, like the aging workforce, like procurement reform and those kinds of things? Are we headed, do you think, in the right direction on some of these things?
I think there's been a lot of buzz and there's been a lot of hype and a lot of discussion and good debate and conversation around it, Francis. My fear, though, is we've been having these same discussions for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And until we put either performance characteristics and or metrics and hold people accountable. And that's both on the Hill, right, and in the agencies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid we're going to see more of the same, unfortunately.
It strikes me that the Hill component's the hard part.
Yeah.
The agencies were maybe not crazy about part during the Bush administration, but they worked at it and they did what they needed to do. Jeff Zients has laid out a very ambitious performance measurement agenda, and the agencies seem to be rallying around that and ready to go on it. And it seems to be the Hill component of it that is really hard to rein in. You mentioned DHS earlier. I did a show about 6 months or maybe a little longer ago where we talked about the fact that there are 108 different committees and subcommittees that have some kind of jurisdiction over DHS. How do you change that? How do you give the people at the agency time to do the work in addition to complying with all the requests for information from Congress?
I wish I had the answer.
Yeah.
You know,
you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, it's it continues to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Obama, you know, he wrote in on a phenomenal story and he's had to undertake a lot. But, you know, until you get in and until you develop your political capital, as the old saying goes, this process continues to evolve.
What would you like to see your company be doing a year, a couple of years out from today?
So we've got a plan, long and the short of it, that over the next 3 years, we'd like to take right now we presently have about $50 million in total contract revenue with the government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what we'd like to do over the next 3 years is we'd like to take that $50 million in contract revenue and double it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that $50 million, you know, I'm going to give you roughly right numbers. That equates to roughly $10 million in annualized revenue, which would then equate to about $20 million in annualized revenue over the same period.
Mm-hmm.
And I would leave you with this, just to summarize. With our new strategy and with our combined data elements and our technology assets, and considering the over $1.6 billion that we have invested in over the last 36 months, our new strategy is that we can provide a 360-degree view, all right, both into the business and also the employee, if need be, and the consumer. Hence, that we are regulated, and so we have to abide by those regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not just, and we should not be thought of just a credit bureau anymore.
Mm-hmm.